Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
A jug, a sangria.
Cheers. Offer to Mulva.
Evening, boys. How are
evening,
you doing?
Evening, Mark.
Yeah, good, good.
We all good?
Yeah, absolutely.
All
right, yeah.
Good weekend, you guys, all good?
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, thank you.
Ask me.
Did you have a good weekend, Mark?
Of course, it was D23.
What?
D23.
No, nothing. Not even Kirk.
Is that Mighty Ducks?
I know what it is, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it Disney's, something to do with Disney?
Yes. Yes.
But that's all I know.
Is it like their convention thing, their meeting
It is.
Thing?
It is that. Every 2 years they have
so
one.
So is that not last year then, 23?
It's always called 23.
Why?
So when it's next year, it'll still be D23.
Why is it called 23?
Why is it not called
23? You don't know, do you?
Look at his face. He's mad. He's mad
he's
that he doesn't
fuming.
Know.
I don't know.
Oh!
Is that how many parks there are?
No.
Oh.
Is that, I like Mark's thinking though, trying to work it out.
I just took it that it was the 23rd, not necessarily following the years, but just 23rd.
No.
Right.
See, I think I do know, but I can't remember.
Is it on 23rd at month?
No.
Is it?
Is this a Wheel of Feature?
Was it
thing?
Good?
Well, I wasn't there, but I didn't watch it live because there were no live stream. But yes, is the answer.
There wasn't a live. I thought they always live streamed it.
They did, but not this year.
Wow.
Oh.
COVID.
I don't know why they live stream. But listen, there's some right good announcements. What are you going to ask me, Rob?
I was just going to say, does it basically just tell you what's coming up, what Disney have got planned for the future?
Yeah, so they said next year we're going to live stream it.
Yeah. I think the reason why they didn't is because they had some big announcements and you have to pay to be there. The tickets are really expensive. They're like £300. Okay. And it tends to be really diehard fans that are there. So they didn't want to sort of, you know, spoil their fun, if you like, live streaming it. They wanted them to get
excited.
Is
there only 23 guests?
No, that's not the reason either.
So am I right in saying, though...
I love how you're quizzing me.
Am I right in saying, though, Mark, that this is the first D23 since Bob Iger's been back in charge?
Yes.
So I take it you was expecting big things, then?
But bearing in mind the last two were really bad. Because the previous ones were all about, we're thinking of doing this, here's some artwork of what we might do. All blue sky stuff, everybody came away disappointed.
So come on then, what they announced?
Oh, well, I'm going to tell you loads of this stuff and you're going to go, really? So Magic Kingdom, I know you two guys have been there, you sort of know Magic Kingdom, the layout, don't you? And the landmark, he's looking as he's glazed over. So Frontierland.
Yeah,
there's
that's
a
where Dumbo and all that is, isn't it?
No.
No, that's no. It's the Western one, isn't it, with the runaway train. Mountain Summit.
You're in Disneyland here. I'm talking about Disney World.
Oh, sorry. Can't you speak poor man's Disney?
So Dumbo, that's in Fantasyland.
Fantasyland, that's it.
Well, I mean Frontierland. So
that's the Cowboys, isn't it?
No, that's Frontierland.
That's what you just said, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
So I thought, yes, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying this.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
I thought that came down my nose.
I thought you were talking about Fantasyland. Yeah, the Cowboys is Frontierland. So
all right,
Frontierland,
crack on, wait.
Is he in there, Spock?
No, that's Tomorrowland. So in Frontierland, there's Rivers of America.
Okay.
And there's an island which is Tom Sawyer's Island. A lot of younger people won't know that. But basically, and of course there's a what do you call them boats that go around on it?
Boats.
Paddleboard type thing with propellers, not propellers, but what do you call them?
Paddle boats with propellers.
No, Kirk said propellers. Paddle boats with them.
Rotors.
Paddle boats with paddles.
No, with them turny things.
Have you ever been to Disney?
With them turny things.
What do you call them?
They're very engineered conversation.
Riverboats.
Riverboats. That's it. Did you say riverboats?
Yeah. You said propellers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear for these two quizzing the life
out of me. Should we start this again?
Anyway, you know what? The Rivers of America and that island.
Yep.
They're getting rid. They're demolishing it all. Getting rid of it all.
Oh,
so there's going to be no boats with propellers.
No! And they're getting rid of that. I can't believe it. They're getting rid of all that and building a cars land.
Oh. Disney cars. Oh,
yes.
There won't be any other cars with it.
In Frontierland.
Wow.
Don't make any sense.
Oh, you're not happy about that?
No, I'm not happy. No, I'm not happy about that.
Well, I think that'll be the final of the Frontier.
Yeah. I, hang on, I've just got his joke from earlier when he said Spock. Okay, reference it. They're building a villain's land. That's going to go behind Haunted Mansion. Hollywood Studios are having a Monsters Land and a ride. Animal Kingdom's having an Indiana Jones ride. Ooh. And then a new land.
What's your favourite announcement? What's your thing that you're the most excited about?
Ooh, good question. I would say
Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse has announced he is a there.
Let's not go down that road. Probably the villain's land. Probably one I'm more excited about.
I think there were quite a lot of excitement when the when films started doing the focusing on the villains. You know, like Maleficent.
Yeah.
What a fantastic film that is. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it is.
It's
good,
brilliant,
yeah.
Isn't it? And they put a different twist on it to show you sort of how they became.
I ain't seen it.
It's incredible.
I've seen a film that Kirk's not seen.
Yeah, I ain't seen it. It's always been one on my list. I'm like, I need to get because everybody says how good it is.
Yeah.
Everybody says how good it is, and it's always been one of them on my list. So I've got to watch that, but then just never have.
It's fantastic, and the thought that I'm stealing your thunder here, Mark.
It's okay.
The
You two need to open all hours, guy.
The thinking that somebody came up with and thought, do you know what? The thinking that somebody thought.
It's going round. It's contagious.
Somebody
this.
Had the forethought to come up with the idea of saying, do you know what? We're focusing on all the goodies all the time. Why don't we focus on the baddies and make it brilliant? Well, and they show them in a decent light as well, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, this villain's land's been, fans have been talking about it for like 10, 15 years or whatever, you know, because they make a big thing of it for Halloween. So, of course, this land is, you know, and basically.
It's only open once a year.
Well, it's going to be a big thing for Halloween. But I think they're featuring that film in the land, and they're having a roller coaster around this particular film.
What about Malnithinov?
Yeah, I can't say it. You say again, Mark.
Maleficent.
That's it.
Oh, there we go.
That's it. That's
was there anything a bit more exciting than what you just told us? Was there anything else that was exciting? Because that's all a bit like.
Two new lands is quite a big deal.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, there is, but I mean, you've got to be a real diehard Disney fan.
How long will it take them to build them?
Well, Disney are not known for building fast, so it's going to be. You know, we're looking.
You're not going to get to see it, are you?
We're talking like some of these lands are going to be 2027, 2028, 2029, you know. But they also, I think the day before they announced loads of Disney films.
Yes, well,
did you pick up on any of that?
I picked up on the Marvel.
Yeah, the Marvel stuff, yeah.
Where they announced that Robert Downey Jr. was playing Doctor Doom.
Yeah, did you about that? Didn't they when he like walked at stage?
Did you see it?
He just unveiled
the
and
mask
like,
and the crowd went absolutely.
They were just like stood there for like 10 minutes, like
I'm not sure how I feel about
like
it.
Like Jesus.
Well, I must admit, Kirk, I thought the same thing.
When you look
thing.
At somebody and you picture him as being that character, when you buy into somebody, is that what you're referring to?
He's Iron Man.
It's more Iron Man. So he's now gone from playing one character in the same franchise to playing a different character.
But he's in a different universe.
It is, yeah.
Does that make a difference?
It's still Marvel.
Yeah.
And I don't get wrong, Robert Downey Jr. is brilliant, and I'm sure he'll do a great job of Doctor Doom.
There's definitely a reason.
You'll always be looking at him thinking of Iron Man,
wouldn't
you?
He's Iron Man.
But there's definitely a reason why they've done it, and obviously all will come clear when they bring the film out, because obviously it's part of the multiverse of madness. But it'll definitely be, they'll tie it in. It won't just be that Robert Downey just happens to be playing this now evil character, the bad guy, the villain.
They'll link it.
A 1,000,000% they will.
He's being possessed or something.
They will.
No way.
I'll put money on the
deal. Kirk's going, no way. Rob's going, 1,000,000%.
Absolutely no way will they make any kind of cross-reference to Robert Downey Jr. He used to be Iron Man and is now Doctor Doom. No way.
I'm not sure they'll do it in that way. But I think they might make reference that.
Do you think they'll
do Doctor Doom, Harold Chipman?
Tony Stark in that. Tony Stark.
Did they call him Doctor Doom?
Death.
Harold Chipman. Doctor Death.
Close.
I think they'll make reference that Tony Stark in one universe is the same person.
Do you think they'll do it in a tongue in cheek way?
No, I don't. Bear in mind, I've seen Deadpool and Wolverine.
Well,
and I know
because I haven't.
Right, I'm not going to tell you anything.
Tell them
about
all about it.
But what I can say is the things that they've done in that is what makes me think why they might do it in
okay,
that.
Okay, well, maybe, but I don't. My personal opinion is I might be completely wrong. I think they'd be stretching a link, to be honest.
And I don't know quite enough about the comics to know exactly who Doctor Doom is and everything about it. But
it doesn't sound very good, does it?
I'm excited that Robert Downey Jr. is back in a role within Marvel because it's cool. But I think I was just hoping that he might one day come back as Iron Man, and but it won't be right.
Could you imagine going for your checkup? I'm sorry, Dr. Smith's off today. We've got a standing doctor. It's Doctor Doom. Yeah. I feel all right, actually.
I used to have a dentist called Dr. D. Eath.
Yeah, Dr. Death.
Really?
Yeah, in Thorpe.
Speaking of Disney, though, well, are you talking about going to Disney next year, Kirk?
Yes, it's a sore subject for Mark.
Definitely me, not the other Mark.
Yeah.
And is it still going ahead? Are you still going?
Yes, I think so. I think we'll be going next year. And I mean, all the Disney announcements are absolutely great. But actually, when I go, the thing I'm looking forward to is the new Universal Park. Because that'll be open.
And not only that, from when we last went, there's also a hell of a lot there that wasn't there when we last went.
Yeah.
Star Wars Land, for a start.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is it not called Star Wars Land?
No, it's called Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy's Edge.
But I love how people who don't really know they got it's Star Wars Land, but it's not. But I know. Listen, I know. I'm splitting hairs, but yeah.
Yeah, there's obviously loads new since last time we went.
Guardians of the Galaxy and all sorts. So it'd be amazing. Yeah. Are you looking forward to it?
Guardians of the Galaxy is brilliant.
It is.
It took me so long to watch it. When I watched, the soundtrack is just fantastic.
Unreal, isn't it?
Brilliant. Absolutely. And the comedy. Yeah. The way it's written.
Mark, have you actually watched any of the Deadpool franchise?
I started watching the first one.
Right.
And it was very sweary and I turned it off.
Oh, my days.
You would love that film.
You would.
In that case, I will watch it this week.
And number two.
Really? Yeah.
And now this one.
You will belly laugh all the way through it.
Really? Oh, 100%. Once you get past the swearing thing, because after a while, the F word just becomes a normal word.
Okay.
What I did find funny was there was a thing the other day that said, Marcus, bear in mind, the original Deadpool films were Sony. They weren't Marvel. Or they were owned by Marvel, but Sony. And they're not in the MCU. So I saw a thing the other day that now it's gone to Disney. It says the most F words said in a Disney film is one. Deadpool and Wolverine, there's 121. I've got a question for you, Kirk, actually.
Go on.
So last time we went to Disney, you lost quite a bit of weight for us to go because you were conscious about your weight on the rides, etc.
And
I'm not
making any judgments,
but is this something you're going to do again?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. It was a big focus for me last time when we booked Disney. I was like thinking to myself, there is no way that I was going to Disney and be one of them people that queued for however long to get on a ride, got to the ride, and then can't fit on it and told that I was too big to get on it. And all this thing of where people said to me, Americans, they're big. It's all a load of rubbish. It's all a load of rubbish. At the end of the day, the seat sizes are the seat sizes for the safety of the ride, not to accommodate, you know.
Yeah.
They do have some seats that are bigger, but again, that's embarrassing enough, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You need to go and sit in fat seat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. So that's what did it for me last time. I was very much, very, very much focused.
You were very driven.
That's where I lost that 5.5 stone. I'm kind of hoping that's my focus.
And have you started already?
Yeah, well, like I said, I've been trying this year, but then fell off a little bit. But now I'm back at work. I've got a bit more of a routine. However, I have decided, rightly or wrongly.
You're giving me the ticket for Disney.
Unlucky.
Nice try.
Is that I'm going to hold off going back to Slimming World.
Okay.
At the minute, which I know probably cheers you up, Rob.
Yeah.
Look, Slimming World worked for me before, and I'm not slagging it off. It works to lose weight.
Yeah, it does.
But as you guys, all you around the table, have said to me before, that sometimes the problem with these dieting plans and stuff is that you're either on it or you're off it. So when you're on it, it works and it's great.
Yeah.
But as soon as you stop going or come off it, it's not the fact that the weight piles on. You just change your eating habits back to, I'm not on Slimming World, so I'm going to have this. I'm going to treat myself to that. And then it's, I'll go back next week. I'll go back the week after and stuff like that.
You don't really learn anything, do you?
I don't think it's a case of learning because I don't think there's anything new to learn, Rob, in all fairness. What it is your brain tricking you to, if you're not on Slimming World, make the most of it and eat everything you can.
Right, okay.
You know, right. And until you go back to Slimming World and then get back on it.
And Kurt walks into an all you can eat and manager goes, get out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this has been the problem with me, very yo-yoing, very, I'm either on it or I'm not, sort of thing. Mm. So what I'm trying to do is I'm probably sticking to kind of the Slimming World kind of food, sort of thing, because I know that suits me, as in, you know, very low fat, you know, low fat, low sugar, low oil, that sort of thing.
Nah.
And I know that I like Slimming World food, it's easy to make and I know it works. But try, instead of focusing on what I can't have and sins and counting sins and measuring my milk or whatever, I'm just trying to make more of a conscious effort to eat healthier, even if that means a drizzle of oil on top.
Yeah.
You know, because some things are like with Slimming World, for instance, is you can't have a smoothie.
Right.
A fruit smoothie.
What? Right. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have a fruit smoothie.
Sugar levels?
It's sugar.
Is it sugar? Sugars.
Yeah, it's
still calories.
Yeah. It's something to do with the fact that if you were to make a smoothie, you might put a banana,
some berries,
an apple. The amount of fruit that you put in a smoothie and then drink it within 15 minutes.
Really? It's not particularly filling.
Is that not your five a day? Five banana, apple, boom, job done.
Yeah, but you wouldn't eat that in one sitting. Or if you did, it would fill you for longer.
When you say not very filling, I have a smoothie every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Banana, I have some Greek yogurt, honey and whatever, and I'm not a big fan of honey by all accounts. Put some berries in it, mm-hmm. top it up with some semi-skimmed,
mm-hmm.
and that sees me through till dinner time.
Yeah.
And because normally, I'll get to 10 o'clock and I'm like that in biscuit cupboard.
Well, that's the banana that's doing that, because that's the carbs.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that works a treat.
But so there's other people that would just have the berries and the strawberries and wouldn't have the banana in it. And there's not an awful lot of...
No.
Whereas so like Daisy made me a chicken stir fry, for instance, last night with noodles and stuff. And she put a little bit of sesame oil in it and a little bit... Do you get what I mean? Mm. And it was gorgeous. It was absolutely stunning. Because of just these little bits that were in it, that normally I would go, nope, can't have that.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter.
No.
It doesn't really matter. And then... So I'm just trying to... I've bought myself a decent set of scales. I'm weighing myself every week. I've tried it this last week, being back at work and stuff like that, a bit more of a routine. I've lost 3.5 pounds last week.
Oh, well done.
And,
that's cheap for a set of scales.
Yeah. but they're them scales that measure your body fat and stuff like that. So I'm just trying to measure different measurements as well.
Yeah.
So now I just need to start building a bit more of a routine regarding going back to the gym and stuff. But then at least like 1 week, I might not see much of a difference on the scales, as in I might only lose 0.5 pound, but I might lose 1% of body fat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, absolutely. And stuff like that. So.
And the good thing is that because you've got this new job, you're setting new, what's the word? I've just got it in my head then. You're setting new...
Targets?
Routines.
Yes.
So if you start the gym, get back into the gym now, it becomes part of this new routine.
It helps as well. The brand of the gym that I've joined, the gym group, there's one next to work.
Oh, brilliant.
There's one next to work.
That's great.
Well, you could have done with it being a little bit further away, so you had to walk to it. That would have...
It is a little bit of a walk. It is a little bit of a walk.
Because that would have helped. Just to go back to 1 second, the only thing that I think we would probably differ on when it comes to the diet that you're doing, that you're going to do now, is the one principle of Slimming World that I'm like, I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. And that is... You can eat as much as you want.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Because portion control is one of the biggest things.
Yeah.
It's all right. You could eat salad.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 75 kilo of salad a day, you're going to put weight on.
Yeah.
Like it's still calories.
Yeah.
So portion control for me is, and I know you like big portions.
Yeah, well, look, I think it's one of them things, Rob, that the idea is that it depends what size you're at the start.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? And what you're used to. You can't, well, you can do this, by the way, but realistically in the real world, you can't go from having a large appetite and this and other to, you know, I remember watching you on some diet plan that you were on, and I literally was sitting in your kitchen and I watched you count 6 pieces of pasta into your bowl. I don't want to live like that.
No.
Do you get what I mean? I don't want
to. That's only because you can't count to 7.
Yeah. But hold on. But the difference between that was that was the final week of a... And I know you know this, but it was a final week of before a photo shoot where you're trying to get to the most optimum physicality that you can get. So it really was counting calories. And that for me is where this comes in. And I know you probably don't want to do this, but it's the only reason why calorie counting is so good, in that you can set, if you know what your calories are now that make you who you are, mm-hmm. you can just drop that by 100, 200 calories. Therefore, you would be made to eat what your the portions you're eating now, but you'd know that you're under, so you will lose weight. Whereas if you're just netballing it, of at least I'm having a smaller portion, but realistically you might not be.
I'll tell you something though, when I decided that I were going to give Slimming World a bit of a break, I did do a bit of a search online to kind of say, well, you know, what else is out there and stuff like that, you know, that you can kind of follow. I totally agree with you, Rob. The ultimate thing is calorie counting, that's it. Because like you said, calorie deficit, lose weight, that's it. End of story.
Yeah.
No one can argue it. But as I've said before, I don't want a calorie count.
No,
you don't have to. You just have to be conscious that you're doing more.
As in active wise?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think you necessarily, and I get where you're coming from, Robert, you know, to be in a, you know, a calorie deficit and you're losing weight, but you can do that without actually having to count the calories. If you're increasing your physical activity and being careful about what you eat over and above what you're doing already, then it's a step in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then once you're becoming more active, you can become even then more active because your fitness level's improving.
I guess.
And naturally, I think you start getting into a situation where you will start losing weight and ultimately start feeling better.
But like the doctor said to me, the doctor's words to me was, physical exercise is great, and whatever you can introduce for physical exercise, it's healthy or whatever. But what he said, and I'm only saying his words, when it comes to weight loss, You can't outrun a fork.
Yeah.
You can't
outrun
a fork.
It's all about the diet. It is the diet.
So I agree with you, Mark. At the end of the day, physical exercise is paramount. It is, you know, for health.
For health.
For health reasons, for fitness, for, you know, heart condition. And boy, absolutely, I'm not for one second sitting here and saying it doesn't matter. It does, 100%. But when it comes to weight loss, what you put into your body is more important.
Yeah.
And the you know, I search so many things, but it's an absolute minefield. I literally looked at it and there's what? Keto, clean keto. I don't even know what the difference is.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these different...
Fasting.
Yeah. 5-2 or 5-3 or what?
Yeah.
What? 7-1. I don't know.
Yeah.
but there's...
Well, it is a minefield. I mean, because the thing is, if you look at society and us humans, we've not really cracked it in the sense as in this will make you lose weight or this will get... I mean, yes, they're all fit. I mean, you know, Rob looks after himself. Mark's in good shape. You know, me and you probably not. But there's no key secret to it, is there? And what makes it even more complicated is that different things work for different people. You know, what one diet or one thing might not work for that person.
Now, I think the only thing that doesn't work is the frame of mind. It's not that they don't work for one person and they work for somebody else. They'll work for everybody if they can get their frame of mind into that situation.
Oh, wow. Or into that diet.
Exactly. Well, if you're the sort of person that, you know, for example, can't reduce your portion sizes, you know, because, you know, we're all the same. You eat until you're full. Don't we? And sometimes it's hard. You might be halfway through your dinner and you think, do you know what? I'm full, and you leave it. Equally, you know, you might be like, right, I've put too much on my plate here, and you don't want to leave it. You end up eating it anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you're being more active, you will, you know, you've
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But what I mean is there's lots of different diets, isn't there? Different plans, different doctors will say, well, do this diet, do that diet. And what I'm saying is I don't think that there's not one diet scheme or plan out there that will work for everyone.
Exactly.
I don't think there is because I've watched documentaries.
The only thing that differs is frame of mind.
No,
if you can't accept and take on board that that's what you need to do to get to that position, then it won't work for you. It's not that it doesn't work, it's that you won't allow it to.
Well, I totally disagree because I've watched documentaries where they've talked to nutritionists, doctors, all these different people, and they'll go, there is no one plan, diet plan that will work for one person.
Well, there is.
I don't know what pro... You're thinking about for maybe majority of people.
No,
for everyone.
Well, it's just literally science.
Yeah.
Well, these documentaries I watched said there is no one plan that will work for one person.
Yeah, the calorie counting thing, right, the science behind calorie counting, it works for everyone. in terms of if you carry it out by the letter, it will work. The problem is that if you can't calorie, if you can't count, right, you literally can't count, you're screwed. If you haven't got the drive to want to count calories, Kirk, it won't work. So, yes.
Can I just stop you, though? Just that minute, just because I just want to pull you up on one thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because it does annoy me a little bit when people that have never really struggled with the weight say things like, if you don't have the drive or you don't have the desire or you don't have the willpower.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's also about how you want to live your life.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, there is a... there is a sacrifice to give with calorie counting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think with any diet, there is.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is just because somebody doesn't want to do calorie counting doesn't mean they have a lack of drive. It just means that they don't want to live their life like that. And they're the people that are trying to find something that works for them.
Yes. Some people are trying to find the magic ingredient. That's what it is.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And sitting down and expecting something to fall on your lap and drop 10 stone or 5 stone or a stone even, it's not going to happen.
But I would also...
It does come back to drive.
I would argue that people... that, and I'm not saying this about you, because you might have your own reasons. Well, you do have your own reasons. But for anyone that says, no, calorie counting won't work for me, or I don't want to do it, for me, it just feels like they're looking for an easier option. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
No, I don't think it's a case of an easier option, Rob. I think it's a case of that if you are, depending on how you've lived the last 30 years of your life or 35 years of life or 40 years of your life, I think it's very easy for somebody who's always relatively being fit or somebody that's always never really had an issue with food or an unhealthy relationship with food or somebody that's never had to really lose 6, 7, 8 stone.
Yeah.
So they're already in a position where they've got a large appetite or whatever.
Yeah.
It's very easy for them people to say, well, if you wanted to do it, just do this and it'll work. And if you're not willing to do that, then you obviously don't want it enough. Because of course it'll work. Of course it'll work. If I decided that I was only going to eat 100 calories a day for the next 7 months, I would lose 7 stone or whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying it doesn't work. What I'm saying is it's like a non-smoker, someone that's never smoked in their life, turning around to somebody and saying, just stop smoking. Of course, that's the easy thing. Just stop smoking.
That's different.
Well, no.
It is. It's an addiction.
But it's still...
Telling someone to be more active and to eat more healthy, it's not an addiction. People can have a poor relationship with food. I understand that. Yes. And I have a poor relationship with food.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of sweet stuff, which is why I have to... You know, if I'm going shopping with Ellen, we have to... Ellen, don't buy anything off that shelf because I'll only eat it. And I do. And that's why I've chosen to eat have smoothies for breakfast, because otherwise I'll have Cocoa Pops and then I'll have a chocolate biscuit we have coffee at 10 o'clock and whatever else. And it's bad for you. Regardless of my body size, it's bad for me. So making those conscious decisions. I make conscious decisions. Obviously, I'm over 40 and I am getting a little bit of middle-aged spread. You know, I like a beer on a weekend. That probably doesn't help. But I make sure, and I would dare say 6, if not 7, days out of a week, I'm doing 10,000 steps at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a conscious thing that I have to do, because if I don't, I'll become, I'll be worse than where I am. You could say, well, you've always been all right with your weight and one thing and another, but that's because I choose to be active.
Yeah.
You know, I could choose to just buy an Xbox and just play on games and I'm sure I'd put on 2 or 3 stone. You know, I just would, because that's just how it is, isn't it?
I think the thing is, no matter which kind of, fad diets that you look at online and research, there's always somebody that'll tell you it's the best thing.
Yeah. Yep. Do you know why? Because you have to buy into it. You have to pay for it. The people that are telling you it's the best thing are people that are selling it to you.
Well,
come on to Slimming World, Weight Watchers or whatever. They're all a subscription. It's all a business.
Yeah, absolutely. But things like following a keto diet or following a zero fat diet or a zero carb diet or whatever, they're not necessarily selling you stuff. That's just online and people saying, you know, follow this diet plan and it'll work.
Yeah.
But yet they'll always sit there and tell you, like, for instance, I'm sat here now with you two sat in front of me. And by the way, I'm pointing at Rob and Mark. Yeah.
Me.
And the other one. Yeah. And both of you two are giving the same message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you'd sit there and tell me that physical exercise was the most important thing to lose weight. Robert tell me that what I eat is the most important thing to lose weight. Two people there that have both got my best interests in heart, heart, and both want me to do well, but yet both of you would tell me different things.
Well, no, I don't think eating healthier is just the answer. You have to increase your physical activity.
Yeah, no, hold on. Listen to what I said, though. In all fairness, you would both say that eating healthier is better, and you would both say that being active is better.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, you would say that the active bit is the most important.
No.
And you would say that the food's the most important.
I would definitely say the food's more important.
No, because you could, if you lived on cheeseburgers and pizzas and you ran a marathon a day, you're still going to end up with third arteries and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
You've still got to have a balanced diet. What I'm saying is, you don't necessarily have to cut back the portions so much. If you can, you know, put that extra effort in physically, you're overshooting what you're taking in.
Yes.
So,
I think for me, it's the overall balance of understanding what you're putting in your body and how much you're taking out of it when it comes to energy. Well, how much energy are you putting in? Because food is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And how much are you taking out of your body in energy?
Mm-hmm.
And when you know that, you can literally, the science tells you can work it out and go, I'm going to lose weight because I'm putting in less than I'm burning. Energy-wise.
You're burning more, yeah.
I'm burning more energy than I'm putting in, or I'm putting in less than I'm burning, and therefore I'm going to lose weight. When you don't know any of those variables at all, you are literally just hoping that it's going to work. Now, don't get me wrong, and when I say this, Kirk, I don't mean this. When I say the size you are,
mm-hmm.
you're at a place at the minute where if you just said, I'm going to walk 6,000 steps a day because mm-hmm. I know I don't walk that every day,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do that. And I know that if I have a bowl of pasta, I normally have it when it's this full, and I'm going to reduce it so it's just a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
If you did that alone, you are going to lose weight,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But there will come a point where that will stop working for you.
Yeah.
And you'll go...
Because you're balanced back out.
Because you're balanced back down.
Yeah.
And then you go, right, what do I need to do now? Well, I need to up me more steps and small it down again. Now, you could just keep doing that. The only thing with calorie counting is it's just a more accurate way of knowing. And the way I do it, or the way I see it is, I would never expect you to just calorie count everything you eat every day for 7 months or however long you do it. But what I would say is, if you were just to take a few key meals that you intend to eat over the next 3 months and just calorie count of that meal on the app, just worked it out, so you know every time you have that, it's that amount. You don't have to weigh it every time you have it. You roughly know 2 ladles of that and that half a bag of that rice, that's we'll work out about that. So you go, right, I've had that much for that, and then for breakfast I have that, that's about that. And over time, you don't ever have to count, you just roughly know. And even that rough knowing is enough.
Exactly.
That's how
that's
I
exactly
see
where
it.
I'm
it's not about the. It's not about every day counting every calorie and every, like I did, that's anal, that was to get to a specific weight for a photograph. You don't need to do any of that. It's just having an idea.
So can I just go back to something that Mark said?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Mark was saying about how he watched the programme and said that everyone is different.
Yeah.
And the
programme was by Michael Mosley.
Right, yeah.
He said there is no diet plan out there that will work for everyone.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about is obviously about and physical exercise and food. Of course that is, but that's what I'm talking about, diet plans.
This is what
I'm talking about. Sorry, Kirk. So you switch on TV, there's Jane's plan, you know, and again, it's similar to what Mark said. All this is about getting money buying into it, but they're all different plans. But surely at end of day, the basics is like what you said, and it's about what you eat and how you exercise. So what's all these plans all about? Because they're not all like Jane's plans and Slimming World and this and that, they're all slightly different.
Yeah,
but why are they all slightly different if the human body's the same? But like Michael Mosley said,
they're all different because they're different products.
Exactly. And Michael Mosley in this documentary said none of them will work because none of these diet plans will work because everybody is different.
That's what I was going to ask.
So that's what I was going to ask. Just to clarify that point, sorry.
That's what I was going to ask you two. So are you believers that if every single body ate exactly the same thing every day from start,
mm-hmm. yeah?
And did exactly the same exercise as each other,
yeah,
that everybody would be the same weight?
No, because we have all got different metabolisms.
Yeah.
Okay.
And different frames.
So,
and,
yeah. so
some people have got health issues.
So let me go on from that then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, if you was to read more into keto,
yep.
for instance.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that that says, I believe, the biggest thing that says is that the idea of that is the way that it burns fat in your body.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing is, if you cut out sugar and cut out carbs, or reduce carbs to a minimum and cut out sugar and put fat into your body, that will help your body burn fat.
You're going to ketosis, don't you?
Into ketosis, which then means instead of your body burning sugar or glucose or whatever it is, that it burns fat instead.
Yeah.
I once saw somebody do the keto diet and I'd not seen them from months from starting it to like they'd been doing it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months and they looked ill.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm saying.
And that's where some diets, I think, you know, they might work, but they're not necessarily healthy.
Or sustainable.
Sustainable, definitely. Yeah. And I always thought, sorry, Mark, just a very quick point. And also, I do sometimes believe that some diets are aimed at people that, for health reasons, might need that diet for other reasons.
Yeah.
It might not be weight related. It might be that that way of living with that type of food and that is better for them. I don't know what they are, but I imagine that that also comes into play. For these, like for instance, keto isn't like Slimming World. There's no products you can buy that have got Slimming World written on them. There's no, you know, keto isn't like that. You can buy it, it's just normal foods. Mm-hmm. So I do believe there's a place for it. I don't know exactly what that place is, but yeah, that's all I was going to say.
For me, I think it's when they start putting names on diets and they go, I'm on this diet, I'm on this diet. And it's almost like something that they're fixated on. They'd fix it. That's what I'm on. Mm-hmm. Rather than, right, what do I need to do? Be more active. What do I need to do? Watch what I eat. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily quantities. It's quantities and quality. So, mm-hmm. you know, healthy, balanced, make sure I'm being active. And I know you're a little bit more specific than I am, Rob. Generally, that's a good place to be, and you know, if you are unhealthy, you will start to become more healthy. That's just, you know, in my opinion, the case.
Going back to that point when you're about this keto diet, what you want? I mean, I've never heard of it, and you said your friend or somebody you knew were on it, and he didn't look.
They did it, yeah. They didn't look well. So many were like,
and the
wow.
problem with a lot of these diets is because we're not. Well, doctors or nutritionists or whatever or health people, you don't know, because obviously some diets will suit different people. So like this friend of yours or whatever, clearly that diet didn't suit him. So how would it work?
They lost a lot. They lost weight, but they looked ill through it.
So it weren't good for the body. So how do you know what diet? Because the market is saturated with all these, you know, like particularly nowadays with social media, do this, do that, do that. But how would you know? You would only know that by going through spending money, getting checked out. You know, you're just stabbing in the dark.
I think this is the thing that could we all agree though that there is a bit of a difference mindset and approach between eating healthier. You know, we can all agree that eating healthy and balanced and having a balanced exercise is better for you.
Yes.
End of story.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But do we not think that there is room in there for there's a difference between that and weight loss? Wanting to actively lose weight.
Yes. And I think it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
What? So what I'm trying to say is when you've got a lot of weight to lose, when you've got a lot of weight, so I'm not talking about, oh, I've gone from a size 30 to a 32, I best cut down a little bit and go for an extra jog, right, and lose 6 pounds, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about staring down the barrel of losing 7 stone or 7.5 stone.
Yep.
It's a different mindset.
The mindset is getting started.
I've started loads of times.
Well, I also see it differently. I don't see it that you've got 7 stone to lose, Kirk. You have got 7 stone to lose, but you haven't.
Thanks for that clarity.
just start by saying, you've got a pound to lose.
Mm. Yeah, small.
And hit that pound.
Small chunks.
Yeah. You've got 5 pounds to lose.
One
hit that 5 pounds.
One will follow the other, won't it?
Just by setting this, I've got to lose 7 pounds. Well, that seems like an unmountable task that you can't climb a mountain. But if you could just climb the first little ridge, you know, you look up a mountain. There's a little bit, and you go, if I can just get to there, and you get to there, and you go, okay, now if I could just get to there.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's just a little... But thinking about the whole... Looking at the top of the mountain, you're going, I'm never going to get up there.
Or I could just go to Turkey and have my stomach cut out.
You could, yeah. Do you know what? Which you know what? For certain people of certain sizes, there's an argument that absolutely that's what you do. However, I'd still argue that they need to get themselves down to a suitable weight first to prove that once they've done that, that they can then continue to absolutely. Do what they did before, so that they don't just expand that up. I don't know what would happen. I mean, imagine it'd cause problems. Yeah. So you'd literally, it's almost like if you're going to do that, you've got to make sure that your diet's in check before you do that, because once this has happened, you've got to go back to
you
the diet.
You can still
and
be
live
thin and unhealthy, can't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah.
And I this is where I know I can say this, Kirk, and I know you'll... I won't say you will disagree, but it's where our heads would butt. And I would just say, look, when it comes to weight loss... I understand that it's a relationship with food and their relationship with food. However, as whatever that is, if your overall desire to lose weight is greater than your desire to eat food when you have a moment where you feel like you're having a bad day or you have that, if your desire to lose weight is greater, it will win. But and that, you will lose weight.
Yeah, but then that's what brings into the whole. I suppose it's called willpower, isn't it?
Yes,
it is willpower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But that's not an easy thing to overcome.
No, it's definitely not.
And I'm going to go back to it because you know I think we might take it for granted that you know I'm not you know obese if you like, although I am the heaviest I've ever been. I have to walk past, and this sounds ridiculous. I have to walk past the frozen aisle in a supermarket for where the ice cream is. So if I buy a you know the kilo tubs are like Carte D'Or or Aldi's version obviously because it's cheaper. I'll sit and I'll eat the whole tub.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I just can't stop. I'll be like, this is just so nice, and I have to eat the whole thing.
So Ellen don't get anything.
Well, you know, I will take two spoons, but she might have a spoon and she'll have
one spoon.
Bottle.
Is that all?
I will eat the whole thing.
I am going to be an arsehole for a second and say you don't have to eat all of it.
That's right. And do you know what I do?
What?
I walk past the freezer aisle and I don't buy it.
You don't buy it at all.
Because I don't have the willpower for that to be in the freezer and not eat it. So I make the decision that I take that decision out of my own hands.
And what happens if you have the same thought process with all foods? What would you do then?
What, that you have to eat everything in its entirety?
Yeah, when you're cooking, you think, you're thinking to yourself, I need to put more in because I'm really hungry and I don't want to be full afterwards. Yeah. Or you put too much in you put something in your bowl and you've got this mindset, you've got to empty that bowl because you were brought up as a kid saying you finish what's on your plate, otherwise you're going to get it for your next meal. Or, these things of you can't leave food or, you know, the mindset of, you know that ice cream's a trigger for you. So therefore, I've got one of them triggers, crisps. So therefore, I don't buy crisps.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it don't fix my problem because it's not just crisps that's the problem for me.
Yeah.
It's everything. I can't, you guys around this table could go to McDonald's now, and order a Big Mac meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Big Mac meal and chips.
I don't like Big Macs.
Well, a chicken sandwich?
Anyway, I'll go with that.
So you could be driving past McDonald's and you could think to yourself, I'm hungry, you know, I've got no in for tea or whatever, I'm going to call a McDonald's and get a Big Mac meal. Yeah? Eat that Big Mac meal and be full.
Yeah.
I can't.
For about 15 minutes and then you're hungry again.
Right? I can't. I could eat that Big Mac meal and then go, right, that's a starter. So what?
But can I just spin it on the head and say that you know how I look. I'm slim, right?
Yes.
Actually, given when you look at my measurements, I'm only just underneath obese,
mm-hmm.
right? Clinically.
Regarding BMI sort of thing.
Yeah. If you look at my weights and stuff and my height and everything, mm-hmm. but even though I actually look healthy.
Well, you are healthy. I get what you're saying about, I mean, BMI, it's controversial in itself, but you're not nowhere near
obese.
I'm clinically obese.
Yeah.
I'm a bit chubby, but I'm not, I'm not clinically obese.
But I think that's where some of these things that creep in where they start talking about BMIs and whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's sometimes easier not to look at them and just say, right, what do I want to do? What do I want to be?
How do I want to look?
Exactly.
Yeah. But the point I was going to make was that you do tend to find people, and I will use you as an example, Kurt, because you do get it, that will say to people like me, yeah, but I have this thing, meaning you or someone else, where I can't do this and I can't, and I struggle with that and I struggle with that. And I think, I do think, do you think I, and I'm not saying this to you directly, do you think I don't actually, I still sit with four blueberry muffins in a cupboard and go, I want to eat all of you right now.
With custard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll have one. And I'll sit in the room thinking, I want another one. I want another one. Mm-hmm. And I'll walk to the kitchen, I go to the cupboard door and I go, no, you don't need it, Rob. And it's an absolute war in that kitchen in that moment. And I get what you mean is as though, yeah, but you've got willpower. I have. Yeah,
let me just be clear. Because okay. Again, what you're doing is you use an example of a treat or something additional. Or something extra.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, I know that I can't have a multi-pack of crisps in the cupboard because I'll sit on and eat them all. Yeah. So, therefore, I don't buy crisps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that if I bought a big bar of chocolate, I'd open it and eat it all.
Absolutely.
I don't put some back, right? So, therefore, I don't buy chocolate. Yeah. Sort of thing. So, them sort of things, what I'm trying to say to you is imagine if you had that thought process, what you've just had, with everyday food. With your dinner, with your tea, with everything.
Kirk, I have a question for you. So I understand your appetite. You're saying about you have a Big Mac meal and then you're still hungry type thing.
Yes.
So my question to you, when you were younger, have you always had this appetite for food?
I've always had a big appetite.
So even when your younger days, when you were slimmer,
Well, this goes back to what I agree with Mark. Because I've always had a big appetite and I've always ate good, like big portions of food or whatever. The difference was when I was really, really slim, I was playing football at school, basketball at school. I was coming home, was going up to the field and playing football. We was going out on bike rides. We was going out, you know, activities. So that's why I do get what Mark's saying, that if you're consuming, and I know you would say this as well, Rob, if you're consuming 3,000 calories a day, but for whatever reason you're burning 4,000 calories a day. Then you're going to lose weight.
Your balance of energy is out of kink.
Basically what you're saying is carry on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But go to the gym 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
I agree. I think some people have bigger appetites than others. So forget the size of the person. Like Kirk's just said, when he were younger and he was slim, you know, he had a massive appetite. Mm. But yet some people can have a small, I mean, you know, Aina, although she's not big, she doesn't have a big appetite. Mm. And you know what I mean? I mean, she thinks, I mean, you know, as most women, she thinks she's fat at the minute. She's not. But she doesn't eat loads anyway. She's never eaten loads. So, but like Kirk, even when he was slim, so that's not going to help you, is it, really? Yeah. Because you've always had a big appetite. So although when people are bigger, shall we say, they go, it's just because they eat loads of food. Well, it's their appetite. It's what it is.
Time at the bar, please.
And on that note, I think it's time you went and did some walking.
Yeah. I think so.
I think it might be. Or is it just time to spin a wheel instead of walking?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Come on.
He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
Let Kirk spin it. He can do an exercise.
I'm going to say, let's put the Wheel of Features way out in the car park.
Yeah, 3 miles away.
Let Kirk go and walk and spin it.
Good one. Right. Spin it, Kirk.
Oh, here we go. What's it going to be?
Is it this week? Yeah. Is it this week?
Is it?
What is it?
It's Dead or Alive. That's
you are still alive.
Yeah. that's the game over. Am I alive?
So how do we play this, Mark?
So this Dead or Alive, right, I'm going to give you five celebrities. That could be anyone, obviously, from films, you know, music, sport, whatever.
Musics.
And you've got to sort of guess or tell me whatever right now if they're dead or alive.
So we're writing them down.
Yeah, you're writing them down.
Okay, and then you'll tell us after we go through the answers.
We'll tell you.
The listeners can play along.
So I'm going to say a name, and all you're going to say is, are they still alive or are they dead?
But we're writing it down.
Yeah. You're writing it down.
Cool. Right. Okay.
Go. Are you ready then? Let me put my glasses on. So the first one then.
Yeah.
Angela Lansbury.
Okay.
So for those who's listening, she's an actress. She was. She's in Murder. She wrote.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Bed, Knobs and Broomsticks.
Yes. I know you're on about now.
Yeah, she's
one
in
of
that.
My favourite films, like, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Next one.
Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin. Is that how you pronounce his surname?
Yeah.
Spaceman?
Yeah.
Spaceman.
That was David Bowie, wasn't it?
That's him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gene Hackman, the actor.
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That. Okay. Yeah.
Tony Bennett.
Okay.
The singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And the last one, Joe Buckner.
Who?
Who's that?
He's a boxer, I believe. Mark could be able to back this up for me.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's a boxer.
Okay.
Did he fight Muhammad Ali once?
He did.
He did? Oh, my. Yeah. Okay. That's my boxing knowledge coming through. So, are you going to tell me which one's dead? Are they all dead?
Well, you tell us the answers. We'll tell you what we scored.
Right. So, I'm going to give you...
Oh, go on, sorry.
What, you going to ask me something, Mark?
No, we're going to guess them. Are we not guessing them?
Well, first off, we need to know who they are. So, tell us first one and we'll tell you what we've got.
What, Angela Lansbury?
I was just going to let Mark do it. It's his quiz.
So let me just write down whether I think they're alive. So,
I thought you wrote them down, Mark.
What were you writing?
Who went first one then?
So the first one were Angela Lansbury.
Okay.
Right, so what?
I've gone for dead.
Mark? She is dead.
Yeah, I've gone for dead.
Are you not Googling, are you?
No, I'm writing at my phone. Look.
Oh, okay. And what did you put?
Dead, yeah, dead.
Yeah, she is dead.
She died the other year, didn't she?
She died in 2022, and she was 97.
Wow. I didn't think she were that old.
Yep.
Wow.
See, I've got coming up with facts here. Age.
Who
and
next?
Next was Buzz Aldrin.
Alive.
Spaceman. You alive. Saying alive?
I've got alive.
I think he died quite recently.
Okay, he's still alive.
Oh, is he?
And he's 94.
Good work, killing him off.
Yeah. Sorry, Buzz.
Right, next one.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman.
Dead.
Alive.
Alive.
Dead.
He's still alive, yeah. And he's 94.
I wrote alive on there, and I just second guessed myself and said dead.
I saw a picture of him on the in the tabloids the other week, and he looks obviously
94,
really, really, really old. And again, tabloids being tabloids, the only thing they took Mickey out of him is because he was wearing jogging bottoms and he didn't look very smart.
I think I did ridiculous. See that picture. I did see that picture thinking. Is that Gene Hackman? Yeah. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Next one then. Tony Bennett.
He died recently.
Alive.
Dead.
No, he died recently.
All right.
Yeah, because I remember Lady Gaga coming out and saying something quite emotional because they did a
Mark's
duet.
Mark's taking over my slot here. but he's right.
Dead.
He's dead.
He's dead.
And I only said alive because he sang with Lady Gaga recently.
He did.
And thought, he's still alive.
Yeah, she turned him into a dress.
So, for the listeners, he died in 2023 and he died and he was 85.
Wow. Okay.
And the last one then, Joe Buckner. Dead or alive?
I don't really know who he is, but I've put alive.
I've gone dead.
I know. I've written alive there, and I'm thinking that it could be one of those trip ones because you think, right. Cause
yeah, exactly. It's not easy, is it?
No, I'm going to say alive.
So alive, you're saying he's dead, and you're saying he's alive. He's alive.
Oh, yeah!
And he's 74.
That ruined your streak then, didn't it?
Yeah, I did. I got 4 out of 5.
I got 2 out of 5.
Did you?
Yeah. What did you get, Mark?
He's still writing them down.
Because I'm
still writing them down.
No, because I wrote some down and changed my answer as I said that. So,
trust you.
I know.
Well, Kurt won.
Anyway, that's Dead or Alive. I need to get a jingle for this as well, don't I?
I'll
work on that.
Brilliant.
Good getting that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed
that. Thank you.
And on that note, it's been a pleasure, boys.
It's been a pleasure.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered? Or you just want to get in touch with us? Why not drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com. That's 2 N's, not 1 N, because 1 N, it doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.